darkness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for freedom from captivity.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for comfort in sorrow.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for power in weakness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. What a beautiful way to begin this Advent season in song, in thought, and in the bringing in of the light of Christ. The light that will grow brighter and brighter each Sunday during the four Sundays of Advent until at last on Christmas Eve we light the Christ candle. Today as we worship, we want to welcome all of you into this place. This is God's house and all his children are welcome. Especially we greet and extend a warm welcome to our visitors who are with us today. If you are a visitor and you'd like us to know a little bit more about you, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate. You will find those on the back of the pew in front of you. You also see throughout the church there are several signs announcing activities and opportunities during this very busy and wonderful season. On our salmon-colored sheets out in the vestibule, you'll find also the upcoming events and opportunities. I hope that you will take time to look through those and prayerfully consider where you might participate and join in the life and the celebration of this congregation. Today, as we enter this first Sunday, we listen to the words of that reading that Advent is a time to wait. We are waiting, we are hoping for the coming of the Christ child. You'll see in our creche here, our manger is empty. There's Mary and Joseph and the animals, but no figure of the baby Jesus in the manger scene. It's because we are waiting for Christmas Eve. We are expecting, longing for that great and wonderful celebration that remembers that Christ came into a little village in Bethlehem, to a little barn, to a little manger, to a little family, but to bring an infinite amount of grace. It's with that hope that we worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7 and verses 17 through 19. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we begin this season of Advent, remind us again that in the midst of our darkness, you are bringing us peace to calm our anxious spirits and our hectic lives. Lord, turn our hearts towards you. Make us ready to receive your Son, our Savior, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, O Come Emmanuel. It's number 76 in your hymnal.
Oh,
As we begin our season of Advent, our prayer revolution centers on this time of reflection and the time of meditation. Our pastor, Mason, has put together a devotional that he's encouraging our congregation to walk through individually or as families or in groups during the season of Advent to remind us about what this season is all about. If you've been to any stores over the last couple weeks, they would tell you Christmas has already started. Basically, as soon as they put away the Halloween decorations, the Christmas things come out. But the season is about anticipation and waiting, because the day that we celebrate is the birth of the Christ child and the days that follow. The Advent devotional called Resisting the World helps us reflect on this waiting and anticipation. So I want to lift up this time of devotion as family and friends this day and this season of Advent. Let us pray. Father God, as we have just reflected this past week on all the things that we are thankful for, and as we emerge eagerly anticipating the season of Advent, I just ask that as a congregation that we wait. We wait and be patient and see how you are going to move among us. Father God, this season of Advent is a time that as a church we sit back and reflect, not rush forward like the world would have us do. Father God, as we gather together as family and friends, as small groups, as we walk through our Advent devotional, Resisting the World, I just ask that it resonates not just with the words that we read, but the life that we live. And Father, may we anticipate and wait patiently for the celebration of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and who will come again. We lift this time of devotion to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. Man, we've got the Thanksgiving hangover going on, don't we? We're too much turkey and not enough. How many of you are excited about going to school, back to school tomorrow? How many parents are excited about their kids going back to school tomorrow? Amen to that. Well, I hope y'all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we have entered the season of Advent. Well, I've been on vacation this past week, and so when I go on vacation, you never know what pops up or what ends up coming in your office or on your desk. And as I came back from Thanksgiving, something popped up, and I wanted to ask if y'all happen to know what it was, okay? All right, you see that behind you? Look over there. The gift with the bow. Did one of you give that to me for Thanksgiving? For Christmas? Wes, did you give it to me? Was it from you? Wesley? No? No? Danny? Mark? Nobody? I asked my boys, and they said no. Someone has left a gift here, and I assume it was for children's sermon, so I think we should open it up. What do y'all think? Yes, yes, right. That's the most energy I've got all day. All right, we're going to open this gift up. Wait, well, let's. I once opened a gift that wasn't to me, and I was sorely disappointed. It was not a good thing. So let's see if our name's on it first, okay? Let's look carefully. Do you see a name on it? Anything on top? Side? Anything on the bottom? No name? All right. Well, have you ever gotten a gift and you wanted to shake it, you know, to see what it is? Even if you couldn't open it up, why don't we shake it? What do you think? But one time I shook a gift, and it was breakable, and when I shook it, I broke it, and so I was sorely disappointed what was in it when I opened it up, and it was broken. So maybe we shouldn't shake it. Do you think maybe we should ask someone in the congregation and see if they gave it, put it up here? What do you think? All right, I'm going to send you out as spies. So I want you to go out in the congregation and ask everybody you come in contact with, did you bring the gift? Did you put the gift? Get ready? Go. Do it now. Go. Everywhere. Go there. Somebody, make sure you get everything. Danny, get the choir. I'm sure it's one of them. Just ask them. Ask anybody you see, did they place the gift up here this morning? All right, spies, come back, come back, come back, quick, 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 quick.
Danny, come on back, buddy. Come on. Did you get any yeses?
No.
No. No. Ah! I can't wait to open this gift, but I don't think we should, because I think this gift could be for somebody else. How about this? I will spend this entire next week finding out who brought this gift and why it was here, and we will open it next week. Is that a deal?
Yes.
Yes. No. No.
Yes.
Yes. I got half and half. My vote wins. Yes. We will wait. We will wait till next week, anxiously anticipating opening this gift. Okay. You know that idea of waiting is not an easy thing to do, right? You like waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't like waiting either. But there was a group of people that waited and waited and waited. And there were a group that we're going to talk about this Advent season. This group of men and women, they were shepherds, and they waited, and they waited. You know what their job was as shepherds? What do shepherds do? Take care of sheep, right? So basically, his job was to make sure the sheep were safe, make sure the sheep got fed, and make sure they came back safely. That's basically the shepherd's job. And they would go out in the fields for days and days on end, and they wouldn't come back, but their whole job was out there just waiting. Waiting to make sure the sheep got what they needed, that they were safe, and waiting to return home. That was a shepherd's job. They lived a life of waiting. And waiting can be a really good thing because, you know, one night as they were waiting out in the fields, just waiting for the sheep to get their food, waiting for them to make sure they were safe, and just waiting out there, a group of angels appeared in the sky. We're told in Luke chapter 2 that these angels appeared. And one angel appeared, and then a great host, a multitude of angels appeared. And they told the shepherds some important details. Do you remember what they said? Do you remember what the angels told the shepherds? A baby king has been born in Bethlehem. And they were excited. I mean, because the shepherds never get news like this. They basically sit out in the field and just wait. And wait, and wait. And do you think they wanted to wait and wait and wait after they got that great news? What do they want to do?
Go see him.
Go see him. They wanted to go see the king in Bethlehem. And so they rushed to Bethlehem and they found baby Jesus. I think this morning we can learn a lot from the shepherds and their waiting. Because sometimes in that waiting, and that waiting patiently and reflecting on what's going on, some of the greatest news can happen. So this morning, I think we should put the shepherd over here at the manger scene. But be reminded as we put him over there that they waited patiently. Mark, will you do that for me? Will you have put this on the union paper over there, please? Each week, we'll be talking about another group that waited. And I know y'all are waiting to open this present, so why don't you come back next week? And we'll figure it out, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, sometimes waiting is not a fun thing to do. But you give us the ability to patiently wait and anticipate some wonderful and great things. Father, thank you for the shepherds who waited out in the field, just doing their jobs, just living their day by day, and the wonderful message they received from the angel. May we wait patiently for the celebration arrival of the Christ child. But most important, may we wait patiently and be reminded that you will come again. Father, lift up these boys to you. I lift up their time waiting. And until we gather next week, may they be patient and anticipation in the Lord's name.
Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Let's stand and sing this sweet Advent hymn, Lo, how a rose e'er blooming. Please stand.
Oh, God, it's good to be in your house today. Prepare our hearts for this Advent season. Use this offering we receive for your kingdom and bless the gift and the giver. Amen.
Join me in prayer. Oh God, as we consider this season, it is a time of joy and celebration, and yet for many it is mingled with hardship and sorrow. There are some who will spend much time in hospital beds or at home or in assisted living facilities this season. That's never easy for them. We pray your presence and care would shine upon them with the light of Christ, making warm their hearts. That your presence would abide with them. Abide also with those who are struggling with grief and memories of the ones they've lost. We never get over the ones we lose, but Lord, your presence can give us peace and joy in knowing that your kingdom awaits, that your kingdom reigns, that your kingdom is. And Lord, we lift up also those for whom this season will be a time of financial struggle, struggling to pay for electricity, struggling to pay for food, struggling to make choices between medication and food, and for those who will struggle to provide those little gifts to their family. We also pray that you abide, O Lord, with those who have yet to follow you, those who have yet to call upon your name and to seek your salvation. Would that this season of Advent be a time of revival in your house, where you call home those lost sheep, that you gather in those who have strayed away, and that you would deepen all our faith. For if we confess anything to you today, Lord, it is that we could be better. We could do better. We could love more faithfully, follow more clearly, read your word more openly and honestly, pray more deeply. We could be better disciples. Forgive us for when we fall short. Forgive us when we get distracted by the world and all of its message, and recenter our hearts on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture comes from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke these words from chapter 64 long ago. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Perhaps you've had that experience where you expected one thing and received another. Kind of like when you're walking down a flight of steps and you expect there to be one more step, so you take that sort of short step. Or perhaps you, like me, have ever had that experience where you expected there to be a chair when there wasn't. That's never fun, is it? Some expectations end in sort of a regretful moment like that, but sometimes we're surprised by what we didn't expect, like a surprise birthday party. Or someone giving you a gift for no reason at all. You didn't expect it. Or perhaps you've had a social encounter, maybe with a family member or a friend you've had some tension with or frustration with, and you go to meet with them and you expect the worst. You expect something negative to happen, and instead it turns out to be delightful. That's a very positive surprise. Well, today our scripture comes much like an unexpected surprise when we find Jesus in Mark chapter 13. And I suggest we simply dive into the word. For Jesus says this, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the four ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his slaves in charge, each with its work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This scripture comes like an unexpected surprise on the first Sunday of Advent. And perhaps we came expecting to hear about a baby Jesus in a baby manger, cooing and gagaing. And instead, we find a full-grown adult Jesus, not in the middle of a manger, but in the middle of a sermon, preaching about the end of time, a time when he, the Son of Man, will return, not as a fragile, weak little baby in a manger, but in glory, in the clouds, with the angels, at a time when we least expect. Jesus uses this image of the fig tree. If you've ever had a fig tree, you know something of what Jesus is speaking about, that when the leaves begin to return and the buds appear, and you know by just looking at the nature of the tree, its predictable patterns, summer is coming. Much the same way, this time of year, I don't need a calendar to know winter is at hand. The leaves have fallen, the air turns crisp and colder, the morning begins to bring a frost instead of dew. And the signs tell us that the dark night of winter is at hand. Jesus says, look, everywhere we turn, this way or that way, there are signs, there are symbols around us in the world that we can take meaning from and see that the end is near. That there is a moment called the eschaton, or the final saving act of God, when the kingdom that was ushered in part at the birth of Christ will flood in full at the end. And so he says, keep awake. Watch out. Do you not see the season turning? But I love that Jesus in his wisdom offers this word of warning that becomes really a word of challenge. He says, but about that day and about that hour, no one knows. Not even he knows. If you're ever up at night late, you'll see all kinds of televangelists on the airways telling you, look at this headline. See, that clearly marks that the day is going to be within this year, 2014. Christ will return. If you Google it, you'll find, just type in, the world will end, book. And you'll find book after book after book in which the author made prediction that the end would occur in 1965, 1967, 2000. Why 2K? Why not 2K? It's as good as any other year. And yes, of course, there are books and articles predicting the end to come before this year is out. But Jesus says, that's not the point. The point is that we don't know when, nor do we even know what the end will be like. I love to hear sermons where we're giving these detailed descriptions of how it's all going to take place. Well, first, this will happen. Then that will happen. Then there'll be this vacuum cleaner up in the sky that'll suck us away. And then this will happen. And I think Jesus says to us, that's not the point. That the way that the world ends is, it's mystic. Mysterious mystery. It is mystery to us. So do you take Daniel's depiction of the end? Do you take Christ's depictions of the end? Or do you take Revelation? It doesn't matter. The point is, Christ is coming back. I love when people debate amillennialism, postmillennialism, premillennialism. I hope to God you don't know what any of that means, because I don't. Someone asked me where I stand on all that. I said, I'm a Jesus is coming backalist. That's all I know, and that's all I need know. Likewise, when people will debate you about the exact date, I don't know. If Christ didn't, why should I? I had a long discussion when I was a teenager with a Jehovah's Witness about the end of time, and she had received a vision from the Lord that it would be that year. That was many years ago. And I debated for a while with her and said, how could you know? How do you know? And then I brought to light this scripture. You know, Jesus said something. He said that he did not even know the day or the hour. Wouldn't it be kind of arrogant to believe that I could know something Jesus did not know during his lifetime on earth? She allowed this to wash over her for a moment. And then she replied with this retort. She said, yeah, but don't you think we are closer now than we ever have been before? Yes! 1, 2, 3. Now we're 3 seconds closer to the end than we were 3 seconds before. We are always coming closer to the end. And this is the point Christ makes. That because it could be any moment, because we don't know the hour the Master returns, he says, keep awake and watch and prepare and be ready. This is the meaning and the message of Advent. That in the season of Advent, we use this
Advent wreath as a sign and a symbol of reminder that God made a promise long ago that he would send a Savior. And that though it took a long time, God kept his promise. Sometimes it's the tradition to attach a different meaning, a symbolic message to each candle, the candle of hope, the candle of joy. And you may be wondering why we are not doing that. Because, one, it's not original to the symbol. But two, it distracts from the true power and message of this wreath. This wreath, in a sense, reenacts the movement of God's salvation throughout the ages. Each candle representing an age or a movement of salvation, going all the way back to the garden when God said to the woman and to the serpent that the offspring of humanity will crush the offspring of the serpent and darkness will be defeated. And in that statement, a little light, a little hope, a little message of salvation entered the world again. Time went on, and Abraham was called from these idol-worshipping people, come to a land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and through your offspring, all people will be blessed. And a little more light of salvation entered the world. God came to a captive people in Egypt, and he says, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Moses did. And they passed through the Red Sea. And what were they given on the other side? They were given identity. They were taught how to be God's people. We've gone past Abraham, called to be God's people. Now Moses shows them how, as God instructs, through the commandments, through the giving of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, through the teaching of how to worship, how to live together, and how not to be an empire ever again. And a little more light is shown. When the Old Testament ends, it ends with the prophets proclaiming to the exiles, to a broken people, to a hurt people, to a people in great darkness, this message that soon and very soon a Messiah will come. Messiah from the house and line of David, and that when this Messiah comes, he will bring salvation and restoration. Ransom my people, Israel. And a little more light. Until at last we come to Christmas Eve and we light the Christ candle to remind us that God kept that promise and a child was born in Bethlehem and that child was the Savior of the earth. So we quite imaginatively are entering into this story and reenacting it in light that God came in the form of Christ. But at the same time, we are remembering that not only are we entering and reenacting a story, but we're part of one even now. A story that says from the time that Christ was born, the light of the kingdom broke into the world, but it's still growing. It's still coming. The kingdom came in part, but it is coming one day in full and final form with the second coming of Christ. That word Advent means arrival, like the advent of gunpowder or the advent of industry. It teaches us about the advent of Christ, but also the second advent. And so we remember we are living between times, aren't we? We are living between Advents, between his first in Bethlehem and his second coming in the clouds with glory and the angels singing all the way. And in light of that, we are challenged during this season to prepare, to be ready. What does it mean to prepare for the coming of Christ? It doesn't simply mean that I pray more or read my Bible more or speak with a little more righteousness in my voice or learn all the big church words and use them rightly and well and often. That all might be included, but what it means to prepare the kingdom according to the teachings of Christ throughout the Gospels is to work
and build the kingdom. If Advent teaches us anything, it teaches us that we are called to be a part of bringing in the light of the kingdom of God, brick by brick. Whose life will you touch this season? To whom will you bring joy during this Advent and Christmas? Who will you witness to and share the good news with? Who will you help who is hurting? Who will you feed this season and clothe this season and give water to who is thirsty and visit who is in prison? All of these things are about building the kingdom so that we might be ready and awake when it comes. And until that moment finally arrives, our prayer is our song, O come, Emmanuel. Would you pray with me? Almighty, who in the flesh became child, the light of the world, the light of Christ. We give you thanks that you kept your promise long ago through the words of the ancient scriptures. It took you a long time, but at last you came in Bethlehem. You promised you'd come back and make everything right and final and bring in fully the kingdom. It's taken you a long time, but we trust you. History has shown us to trust you. It's taught us that you keep your promises. You keep your word. And so it's in confidence that we faced each day, knowing that you are coming back, that your kingdom is flowing in. And so, Lord, we pray that you, our Father, would use us, your children, to be kingdom builders and kingdom makers, to bring a little kingdom of God with us everywhere we go, to speak the kingdom into the lives of other people, that we would be your workers, for you are our master. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The song says, in the streets of every city, where the bruised and lonely dwell, we shall show the Savior's pity. We shall of his mercy tell. In all lands and with all races, we shall serve and seek to bring all the world to render praises, Christ to thee, Redeemer, King. Would you respond to God's word as we sing, Lord, thy church on earth is seeking, number 391. Please stand if you're able.
Yeah.
remain standing for our congregation response, would you pray with me? Emmanuel, God with us, go with each one, giving us blessings of joy and peace this season, opening our eyes to see the kingdom-building moments that you provide for us, opportunities to serve and share and love and witness. In the name of the child, Christ, born in Bethlehem, amen.